So we are at Christmas time, and we're looking to God at this time. As I started out saying, it's a season of hope. The Advent was, in church history, is waiting, is celebrating the waiting for the coming of Christ, waiting for the coming of God, waiting for the incarnation, waiting for Him to show up, to appear. And if you read through the Old Testament and you read the prophets, and they were prophesying, they're waiting for the Messiah, they're waiting for the promise, and decades, centuries went by. You can imagine the waiting. You can imagine folk being prepared to give up and to lose hope and to wonder. In their whole lifetime, they've been hearing this promise. They've been waiting and nothing. But the wonderful story is that He did come. And He came at just the right time. The fullness of time. At the perfect time, God sent His Son. Now we are in a season of some many hundreds of years, thousands of years, waiting again, waiting for His appearing, waiting for a sign, waiting for God to return, waiting for the Son to be shown forth, to fulfill all the promises that have been preached for hundreds of years, that the church has preached and the prophets prophesied of, and what God has put in the hearts of men. We're waiting and waiting. And the challenge is to not lose hope. It's to not give up. It's not to grow cold. It's not to grow weary. It's not to settle back and say, okay, well, I guess, you know, I thought Jesus was coming when I was a teenager. I thought the planets lined up in 1982 and that was going to be the end of the world. And, you know, 88 reasons why Jesus was going to come in 88 and whatever. Now we got 2017 reasons, whatever. It's like, don't lose hope. Jesus is going to come, and He's going to come at the exact right time and at the exact moment. And we as Christians are the ones who are to hold those lights bright. We are the ones to keep that message burning brightly. And all the songs we are singing today, that just to encourage each other, don't lose hope. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't turn back. Hang in there. Be faithful. Stand for what's true. Stand for what you know is of God. We are to be the light. We are to be the most hope-filled people on the planet. And the world needs hope. Trust me. Families need hope. When we were praying here this morning, I felt in my heart, you know, to pray for those who need hope. But I didn't want to take the whole service and go down that road, because there's other things we have to do. You must fulfill our religious duties here this morning. No, but it's, I trust that God by His Spirit, as He's speaking to me, He's speaking to you at the same time. He can speak to a whole congregation, that don't lose hope. Just keep fighting the good fight. It's going to be a fight from here to eternity, so we might as well fight the good fight. We might as well fight the battles that really matter. We might as well just hang on for our kids and hang on for our grandkids and keep the light burning, that gospel burning in our hearts. So that's for free this morning. Please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. And I know we've read this account many, many times, but I want to just speak briefly before we do our hampers and so on. Why the message of Christmas, or the message of the Incarnation, is a message of hope. Why is it such good news? Why is the Incarnation such good news? And I got a couple of points I want to bring out of Luke's Gospel. So please turn with me. Luke chapter 2. We, as a family, you know, we always use this scripture, beginning in verse 1. We use it quite often to torture our children at Christmas time. And I'm sure there's a lot of families that have done that. You know, you get everybody ready, you get around the Christmas tree, you get all the presents, whether it's Christmas Eve. My family was Christmas morning, Lori's was Christmas Eve, so we've changed it up and done it at different times. I always hated that, getting cold sores and waiting for Christmas morning. So in our family, we had all presents the 23rd, the 22nd, whatever we felt like. I couldn't stand it anymore. It's like, but it doesn't matter what day you say. If you can say the 19th, and everybody will still have cold sores waiting for the 19th. So it doesn't matter if you wait. But so then we'd get everybody together, and then we would sit around the tree or wherever we were, and then we'd have to read the Christmas story. And we'd read it really slow and really long, and then we'd pray. The kids love that. But I love this story. I want to read it many times over this season. So we're going to read it, I'm sure, some way or another in our Christmas carol night in a few weeks. But listen to the words of the story. May it just speak to us again today. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree. I'm reading out of the NIV, by the way, that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem in the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her first son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Do not be afraid. I bring good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." How many times in your life have you read those verses? You know, before we were believers, before we came to a living faith in Christ, as a family, we were religious. We celebrated Christmas. I think culturally, in this part of the world, for years, people did that. And we would read this story, and we would sing Christmas carols. And we'd sing one of the songs, Holy Night, one of the songs we sang. Some of these songs we've been singing I haven't been singing for hundreds of years, but we've been singing them for hundreds of years. I may look like I have, but the message is so powerful to just keep repeating it. And I don't want to preach all these verses, but just as you read through them, the history of it, the amazement of it, the birth of Christ and how Mary conceived and how Jesus was born is an amazing story. But in verse 10 and 11, it's kind of my text this morning. I just want to take a couple of moments and a couple of points from that text. And why is Christmas such a great time? Well, in verse 10, it's because it deals with fear. God says, "Fear not." Like over 300 times in the Bible, in the New Testament, we read about fear not. God tells us to fear not. And the reason we can say that is because of the promise of Christ. Jesus is coming. Jesus has been born. And now as Christians, we can say to one another, fear not. We can pray with one another at the front. We can encourage one another to hang in there, to be bold, because the declaration from God is that we should not fear. Luke 12, verse 6 to 7, he says, "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than sparrows." Timothy, we all quote that verse, that we've not been given a spirit of fear, but a sound mind and of power and of love. God has given us a sound mind, not a spirit of timidity, not a spirit to live kind of this half fear-filled life, kind of waiting for the problems that are coming. Yeah, I know it's a good season. I know I have a job right now, but you don't know what's coming. You don't know what might happen. This whole anxiety, fear, timidity thing that robs people of their lives. It robs them of the joy of serving God and of having a family and living for God. There's so much fear in people's lives. They can't enjoy a pregnancy. They can't enjoy the simple things of life. They can't enjoy a Christmas season because what about the new year coming? I'm not sure what, you know, there's always this worry. There's always this something to be anxious about. And if you don't have any, I can give you a few this morning to worry about. And if I can't convince you, then turn on the news and There's always something that we should be fearful about. But the Christmas message, what is good about the Christmas message is that God tells us to not fear. And when God says that, it settles something in our hearts. Don't be afraid. Okay. John, he puts it strong. He says in 1 John 4, he says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Well, the angel brought good news to fear not. And if there's someone here this morning, you just need to hear that. If you came this morning just for someone to pray with you, someone to encourage you, to take the communion together, to sing a song, to shake a hand, to get a gift of some cookies, whatever, to fill some hampers, to encourage and bless some folk, fear not. Stop fearing. Stop allowing yourself to be robbed by the enemy. He's a liar. God says fear not. When God says it, it's done. It's taken care of. He says it's done. It's finished. Fear not. Second one is because it brings great joy. Verse 10. The Bible doesn't talk a lot about happiness. It talks about joy. And you've heard all the sermons on happiness. Happiness is happenings. Happiness depends on what's going on around us. Joy is something that God gives us. Good news of great joy. If you've ever gotten news that brings great joy, you know what I'm talking about. Doesn't matter what the circumstance. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It doesn't matter your age, your gender, who you are, what you're doing. You get good news of great joy. It changes everything. You can be in prison and you can have joy. You can be in a hospital and you can have joy because it's something that God gives you and it's from the inside. And it's that we used to, the definition from Bible school is that undergirding, overriding joy of the Lord. It has nothing to do with what's going on around you. It has to do with God, what God says. What has God said about your circumstance? What has God said about your life? Does God want you to be filled with fear? Does God want you to be filled with anxiety and worry? Is that what God's about? Or is God the God of peace? The God of hope, the God of joy, the God who brings a message into your life, no matter what's going on, that says, be still and know that I'm God. I'm with you. I'm God. If God's with us, who can be against us? And I could talk long this morning about times when good news of great joy has come into my life. And people, what I want to, I'll shorten as much as I can, but that message came from people. Yes, the Holy Spirit makes it real into my life. But the times when I needed a good message of great joy, I'd say 99% of the time, it came from somebody coming to me and speaking a word into my life, praying for me, bringing me a good news, a good report, a good story, a blessing of some kind. And I could tell you story after story of it that brought joy into my life. So when I'm talking to a Christian church like this, a group of believers, let's be people who bring joy to others. Sometimes you got to work at it. Trust me. Herman tells me all the time, tell my face. I'm actually happy. This is happy. It's gravity. It's work. I'm working on that skin, pushing it back up. I'm going to get a facelift. We have the power to bring joy into people's lives. Sometimes it's finances. Sometimes it's just a prayer. Sometimes it's a word of encouragement. You know, I was thinking about it this morning, these hampers and stuff. You know, so many times I've heard people testify and give testimonies even this weekend about what the church meant and how they've been blessed by the church and encouraged by the church. And so I'm kind of waiting, you know, they're going to say, you know, the great preaching of Pastor Len. I haven't heard that. What I've heard a lot of, yeah, when I was in the hospital, they brought me meals and, you know, I just gave birth to my little child and, you know, for weeks they brought me food and someone blessed, you know, it's like, that's what we remember. Some word, some encouragement, somebody came to your house, someone blessed you, someone spoke to you. And the Christmas message has got to be, this season has got to be a season of joy. And so even if you have to work at it, even if you have to seek it out, even if you have to become an instrument of joy to someone else, you say, well, why isn't anybody making me joyful? That's a good time for you to say, okay, God, help me, heal me, and let me go and serve someone. Let me bless someone. Let me encourage someone else. And I'm trusting as we fill hampers today, sorry, I'm just keeping on nailing that, but as they're taken to some of the folk that each of us in the life groups have talked about and prayed for and prayed over this, that just a simple message of joy, a simple message of hope, just something. God's with you. And I said I wouldn't preach long on this, but there's so many good testimonies of people in this church who, in a hard time in their life, in their basement, struggling with situations, someone showed up with food. Someone showed up with a message. Someone showed up with an encouragement. Someone blessed them financially. Like, I could go on and on and on. Let's be those instruments of joy. Joy is something God gives us, man. And He wants to fill our lives so that you just can't contain it. You got to share it with someone else. Number three, because it's for everybody. It's good news for everyone. That's what it says in verse 10. It's for everyone. For everyone. This is, the gospel is for everyone. You know, don't get all caught up in theology and deciding who's the elect and who's God called and who's God chosen. You know how I've said it many times. You'll find that God, that's God's business. Our job is to share the good news to everyone. God knows who are His. God tells us to go everywhere and preach the good news. It's for everyone. It's for every age, every gender, every nationality, every tongue and tribe. This gospel works everywhere. It's a gospel to everybody. And so He says, I bring you good news of great joy for everyone, for everyone, for everyone. Fear will rob us from taking the gospel to our friends. You know, at this Christmas season, could I encourage you, could I challenge you to share the gospel with someone? Talk about what Christmas means, if nothing else, to you. And I've shared this testimony of my sister Irene. It was Christmas season. She was alone in the city of Edmonton years and years and years ago. Terrible thoughts entering her mind of taking her own life, lonely, broken, in a terrible situation, and decided to go back to church just one more time. Standing on the high-level bridge, just contemplating, not jumping, but just desperate. She said, I'm going to go to church one more time. I'm telling you, we live in a world that people need hope. They need joy. They need the gospel. And this season, I don't know if it's the winter, if I don't see the dark, I don't know if it's because it's supposed to be a celebration of life and family. There's a lot of people that need hope. There's a lot of people that need help. There's a lot of people that need encouragement. And there's a spirit of giving that comes into this time of year, whether it's just human flesh giving, but I believe God's behind it, that we would be people to encourage one another, to help people. So I'm asking you, share the gospel. Share it with everyone. Share it. Don't be shy. Don't be afraid. Don't hold back. Say, well, I've shared it. I've talked to my neighbors. Do it again. Share the gospel. Number four, because it's for me. He says it's for you. This is about God's Christmas present to me. Do you know that God so loved me that He sent His Son? You know, read that verse. For God so loved the world, but God so loved you and I. It's one thing to know that Jesus saves out there. But when it becomes personal that Jesus saves me, that's when the gospel becomes real. Personal. It's for me. Do you know that the good news of Christmas is for you? If there was no one else on the planet, it would be just for you. Just for you and for me. You can wake up in the morning and know that God sent His Son who died on the cross just for you and just for me. That's good news. Yeah, amen. What were you expecting at Christmas time? Huh? It's good news. It's good news that God loves you. He has a plan for your life and my life. Salvation comes to individuals, comes to people. It comes to my heart, to my door. There's no such thing as salvation through grandparents, through parents. God has no grandchildren. You've heard these sermons 100 times. God has children. sons and daughters. He wants a personal relationship with you. It's not helpful that your father and your mother had faith. That doesn't help anyone. That's not helpful. What's helpful is that you have a personal relationship with Jesus. Please leave those baskets over there and just leave them for a moment, please. Thank you. No one's looking at me anymore. Number five, because it's about a Savior. The Christmas message is good news because it's about a Savior. If my bathroom needs fixing, I don't go looking for an electrician. I need a plumber. If you want to deal with sin, you want to deal with the lostness of mankind, you want to deal with the lostness of man's heart, you need a Savior. Jesus is our Savior. That's the gospel. That's the Christmas message. 2,000 some years ago, Jesus came. They were waiting for hundreds of years. And He came. He came in a way that the religious people couldn't take. They couldn't believe it. They couldn't understand it. They knew enough that they could go through the Old Testament. They could read the stories and tell King Herod where the Messiah was to be born. They could tell him the time. They could read the signs. They could see enough, but they missed it. And simple shepherds and simple people of the day got the message. The Savior's come. As I said earlier, we're hundreds of years in now. And people are losing hope. People are challenging the gospel. People are rejecting it. People are offended by it. Christians are being offended by the gospel. I have trusted God. I've prayed. Nothing's happened. I've waited my whole life. My family. And they go on and they go on. And they are at offense, have offense with God. And I'm here to tell you this morning, the Christmas message, this time of year, when we read the story of Luke, and we read about a child being born to Mary, that message of God coming in the flesh to save us is just as real today as it was 2,000 years ago. And if you're here today and you've given up hope and you've lost hope and you said, what's the point? Why celebrate? Why give gifts? Why do these things? Why some hampers? What's that going to do for anyone? I want to challenge you this morning to let God come into your heart and heal you and heal me. That He would fill us with the knowledge of the Lord. That He would save us. And if you're not saved here this morning, you're not a believer, I encourage you to open up your heart this season. Challenge God. Put out prayers of faith. Say, God, if you're real, show me. Show me. Let me feel your love. Let me feel your presence. Let me know God's with me this season. And I'm telling you, God is faithful. He will surprise you. He is a good Savior. So the gospel message is good news because Jesus saves. He saves that which was lost. He still saves. And very, very soon, I don't know when, Paul said it very soon. That was thousands, hundreds of years ago. Very, very soon, Jesus is going to come back. He's going to fulfill all the promises that He's made and all that we've been preaching for year after year. And I just challenge you. I encourage you. I pray for you. This season, don't lose hope. Don't allow the enemy to rob you of the gospel message. The gospel message of joy, the gospel message that's personally for you, that He has a plan for your life and loves you and cares for you. Let's pray. Father.